Chapter 2. Immortal. Summary. Clint Barton is a vampire living in a city of humans. He doesn't interact with them much, but there is one specific man he just can't stop watching. Warnings. Implied character death. Mentioned in passing and not specified who. Clint Barton was sitting on a church roof. He was looking out over the city, taking in the buildings and the cars, the people and their lives. A lot had changed since he had been one of them, even if it was not actually that long ago. Clint wasn't sure how long ago it was. He had stopped counting at some point. It was just no use counting the months, the years, and even the decades when he would live forever. Why count if it didn't make a difference? Why count if you already knew there was no number to count towards? Clint had realized that a while ago. But again, he didn't know how long it was. He hadn't counted that either. That would defeat the whole purpose. So now, Clint didn't know how many years of development, growth, and evolution humanity had gone through since he had stopped being one of them. He also didn't know how many years it had been since they had started systematically tracking, hunting, and, in the end, killing vampires and everything supernatural. He couldn't, and if he were honest, he didn't want to, remember the year they had been at their highest number. And he had already stopped counting by that time anyway, so it didn't make a difference. Years didn't mean anything without a reference to the present. They were just more meaningless numbers. And Clint also didn't know, or care, how long it had taken to bring them down to the few they were now. As Clint sat on the old church roof, he remembered the friends he had lost and the few that were still alive, and even fewer he had still fairly regular contact with. Just before Clint could sink too deeply into memories for his own good, the true reason he was sitting on this particular roof appeared. He was one of the very few things that still made staying in New York worthwhile for Clint, despite the dangers the city had for his kind. Though, as he was one of them, maybe it wasn't despite the dangers, but because of them that he still stayed right here, even after all others had left for quieter, safer areas, as Clint supposed. The Vigilante in his red, horn suit always started his nights here, at this exact church. He stayed hidden, crouching around the perimeter and slipping through the shadows. Then he would kneel down for a minute, praying, as Clint guessed, and finally climb onto the roof to start his patrol. While the devil prayed, and Clint would never get over the irony of that, Clint jumped onto the neighboring roof and hid in the shadows of the water tank there. It wasn't the most comfortable spot, but it was out of view from the Vigilante, while still being close enough that Clint could track where he was going that night. Some nights, Clint would just watch him start his round, but usually he would track the man, at least for a few fights. After all, that was what it was all about, seeing him fight. The man was good-looking, with his tight, armored suit and the mysterious mask. He was strong and fit, without being overly muscular or buff. He was quick and attentive, always right where his power was needed. But the true beauty was seeing him in action. His fighting style was a mixture of multiple martial arts. Boxing was probably the most obvious, but there were others mixed in the way he ducked and sometimes almost flew through the air to dodge, and the way he utilized his billy clubs or various makeshift weapons he found at the scene. Clint could watch him for hours, just studying the way he could almost predict his opponent's next moves and counter them, sometimes even before they were fully executed. Or watching the way the devil tilted his head and put on an almost manic expression when he found his next mission, his next fight. Or maybe even just quietly following him over the rooftops and through the small back alleys of Hell's Kitchen. The devil seemed to always know where the next fight or the next train was happening, sometimes long before Clint noticed anything. Tonight, Clint had nothing better to do than follow the Vigilante through his neighborhood. He didn't need to eat, he didn't need to do anything specific. He just had free time. He had a lot of free time these days. But before Clint could think about that for too long, he saw the red shadow all but flying from roof to roof towards the Hudson. Years, or maybe centuries, of hiding and staying in the shadows taught Clint how to follow someone, even a vigilante, without being caught or even noticed. Like every time, the devil didn't know he was being followed, didn't know he was being watched. and didn't know he was being admired. That night, he was fighting a group of mafiosi in an alley, somewhere in the quieter part of the neighborhood, and Clint was sitting on a rooftop again, leaning over the edge with a clear view of the fight. The devil was outnumbered and, like so often, had literally brought two sticks to a gunfight. But that had never stopped him. For a moment, the thugs and the man in his red suit and mask stared each other down, the shortest of the group teasing and the others echoing his words dumbly. But the devil wasn't fazed by it. He just smiled a little wider, a little more manic, and lowered his head. Then, before any of the men could draw their guns, the devil pulled his clubs from the holster and threw them, already dropping two bodies to the ground. They weren't unconscious, but the time they needed to get up and the surprise his quick smooth caused were enough for him to gain the upper hand. He flipped, kicked, and hit, sending pistols flying out of reach and knocking out one of the thugs after the other. It was a spectacle like Clint had rarely seen it from anyone else. Elegant and efficient, without unnecessary flourishes, but rarely any more violent than he needed to be. Sure, he usually left his enemies bleeding half to death in whatever alley or warehouse he found them in, but the devil never hurt them just for fun. He never killed, tortured, or overstepped the moral boundaries he seemed to have, no matter how gruesome or heartbreaking the crimes they had committed. Clint knew that a lot of humans didn't agree with the devil's methods. It was hard to miss that, but for his part, he thought he was doing the right thing, and he was doing it the right way. He rendered criminals, thugs, and sometimes even whole drug rings harmless long enough for law enforcement to secure them. He took care of the things police and the law couldn't get their hands on any other way. He caught the criminals white-handed when they would slip through the countless cracks in the system otherwise. And, as Clint had to admit once again, he looked damn good doing so. He sighed quietly and rested his head on his hands. If Natasha was still in New York and saw him like that, she would call him sappy and delusional. Maybe even reckless. And she would probably be right. It was stupid to go out running after the type of person who was most likely to kill them. After all, Witch's Land was for nothing else than the vampire hunters of earlier times. But then, on the other hand, Clint had never seen the devil anywhere near the supernatural. Sure, he was the only one of his kind left in the city, but just because he was the only vampire didn't mean he was the only supernatural being. There were all kinds of them. Ghosts, werewolves, pixies, and the fairy folk. And last he checked, there had been at least one demon in the city. But the vigilante in the devil costume never bothered with any of them. In any way. He didn't fight them, he didn't support them, and sometimes Clint even thought he didn't know they existed at all. The human devil only bothered with human problems and human criminals. And somehow, Clint admired that. Author's note about this universe. Clint, Natasha, and a lot of other note figures are or were vampires and other supernatural beings. They have lived for hundreds of years, but at some point in fairly recent history, humans started fighting them. Vigilantes today are derived from vampire and supernatural hunters. They usually focus on both human crimes and everything else they think could endanger the citizens of their city. Clint has spent a lot of time traveling, exploring, but is now somewhat depressed and tired. Chapter 6. Pet Sitters. Summary. Clint and Matt pick up Yelena's and Kate's dog and have a nice morning in the park. The buzzing on Matt's nightstand and the vibrating under Clint's pillow pulled the two men less than gently from their sleep. Over the course of the night, Bakia rolled up between their legs, while Deuce had chosen to sleep in her own bed next to the bedroom door, like she usually did. For a moment, Matt considered just rolling over and going back to sleep, but the vibrating that shook half the bed was too annoying to ignore. So instead, he softly elbowed Clint until the combined annoyance of the alarm and his boyfriend woke him up all the way. "What is it?" he groaned, sweating at the nightstand behind his back to try and hit the off switch of the alarm clock. Matt didn't need to be able to see that Clint had his eyes pressed shut. They had spent enough nights sleeping next to each other for him to know that he would need at least one cup of coffee and 20 more minutes until he was awake enough to understand any form of language. Even if he looked at Matt's signing, he wouldn't get much information from it yet. So instead of answering, Matt grabbed his own phone from the nightstand. It is 8:02 a.m. The automated voice read when Matt opened his alarms. He frowned slightly. It was a Saturday. Normally, there was no reason for the alarms to go off this early. With practiced ease and the assistance of his screen reader, Matt navigated to his calendar and checked for any events. Saturday, 30th of September, 9 a.m. Until Tuesday, 3rd of October, 8 p.m. Kate and Yelena on holiday. His phone informed him, and Matt remembered that they had promised Clint's old neighbor and their girlfriend to watch their dog while they were out of town. Sighing quietly, Matt rubbed the sleep from his eyes and pulled his leg out from underneath Lucky. He decided not to bother Clint again until after he had at least made coffee, or stood to make his own start of the day more relaxed. Matt loved Clint and his chaotic, unpredictable, and very loud nature, but especially in the mornings, he often preferred the quiet, and as soon as Clint was awake enough to get up, there wouldn't be much of it left. Not with an uncoordinated deaf man stumbling around the apartment and his dog running around, causing mayhem to get his dad's attention. Instead, Matt grabbed a hoodie and tapped into the kitchen to set up the coffee pot. While the machine was brewing, Matt greeted Deuce and spent a moment cuddling her before he prepared breakfast for both dogs. When the coffee maker clicked off, Matt prepared two mugs and brought them back to the bedroom. He set the mugs down on Clint's nightstand and sat on the edge of their bed. The shift in the mattress made Clint groan again, but he was still hiding underneath his blanket. Matt couldn't help but chuckle. Sometimes he couldn't believe Clint had ever been a functional adult on his own. "Hey, sweetie," Matt muttered as he trailed his hand over Clint's back. He knew the other man wouldn't hear it. Usually, Matt couldn't resist whispering sweet nothings anyway. Clint grunted again, and it took a moment for him to finally turn and sit up. Once he was sure Clint was looking at him, Matt pulled out his phone, letting it read the time again and showing the calendar event to Clint. "Is that why I'm awake?" he complained, grumbling unhappily and grabbing his coffee when Matt nodded. "Why do I keep agreeing to stuff like that?" "Because you love Kate and Yelena," Matt answered. "And Fanny?" "We agreed to pick Fanny up, didn't we?" Clint whined, and when Matt nodded with an amused expression, he cursed his past self. "Awake me shouldn't be allowed to make decisions for tired me." Matt chuckled. "Yeah, you keep saying that, yet you never stop." He grabbed his own mug and checked the time again. "If you give me a little more space, we can cuddle for a moment." He didn't need to say that twice. Clint was already all but pulling Matt under his blanket before he could finish signing. For a few minutes, the two men just enjoyed each other's warmth and the fresh coffee. Matt was listening to the quiet sounds of Lucky chewing on a duck foot and the cars and pedestrians outside. At the same time, Clint was watching Deuce lolling in a sunny spot on the living room floor. With a clear smile in his voice, Clint pulled Matt a little closer, pressed a kiss to his head, and whispered into his hair, "I love you so insanely much." Matt stole a long kiss, running his free hand through Clint's hair and finally resting it on his neck. "I love you too," he said as they parted. "I'm so glad this week is finally over," Clint muttered before taking the last sip. "I really need a vacation too." "Soon," Matt promised, thinking about the trip they had planned in a few weeks. "But now we need to get going." "Yeah, I know," Clint agreed unhappily, but also pushed the blanket off and climbed out of bed. They quickly got dressed and got otherwise ready for the day. That included packing a bag with treats, toys, and Deuce's harness for later, and finishing off the coffee, as well as Clint putting in his hearing aids. The walk over to Yelena and Kate's apartment building was short, and even though Lucky wasn't fully ready to start his day either, Matt and Deuce somehow managed to convince both the golden retriever and his owner to leave the house on time. Yelena's American Akita was bigger and stronger than both Lucky and Deuce, but that had never stopped the pizza dog, as Kate liked to call him, from trying to tackle Fanny every chance he got. Fanny didn't pay him much attention. She just growled harmlessly and continued sniffing Matt and Clint when he gave up for now. "She's been a little picky recently. I made you a list of things I thought you should know," Yelena explained, handing Clint the note and a bag with grooming equipment and Fanny's bowl and toys. "And otherwise, if something's wrong, you know how to reach us, and as always, feel free to send me as many sweet pictures as you like." She squashed Fanny behind the ear and knelt down next to Kate. "You're going to be a good girl, aren't you?" Kate asked, giving Fanny a treat before handing the leash to Matt. "Thank you so much. I don't know what we'd do without you." "You're welcome," Matt smiled and gave the other two dogs a treat as well.
Neither of them was known for their generous nature around food, and Mitt didn't want to start the next few days off on the wrong paw. With a quick hug, Clint and Matt said goodbye to the two young women and wished them a good vacation before leaving their apartment building, all three dogs in tow. The fresh air and a generous amount of treats had woken Lucky up, and he was happily wagging his tail and jockeying next to Fanny. The Kita was just as spoiled as the Golden, but with her it had turned into more of a snotty personality. That didn't mean she didn't like other dogs, Lucky and Deuce maybe most of all, but she also didn't put up with all of the combined chaotic energy she didn't want to. While the two light brown fluff bundles were running ahead, sniffing everything they could reach and begging their two humans for treats and pets, Deuce mostly just trotted next to Matt and gently nudged his leg when there was something she thought her handler should know about. The shepherd was off duty, as Matt had brought his cane and Clint usually led him on their walks when he needed it, but she usually still insisted on doing some of her tasks whenever they were on the street. Matt didn't mind it. It just meant she still loved her job, and as long as she did it voluntarily, her guide trainer and Matt agreed that there was no reason to stop her from doing it. Clint and Matt took the quickest route from Yelena's and Kate's block to their favorite cafe to get breakfast. It was almost a tradition by now to stop by there, get a coffee, and get whatever the owner's newest pastry creation of the week was before they went to the closest park. The park was usually quiet on Saturday mornings, except for a few other dogs with their owners and sometimes kids playing on a small playground. If it was raining, Matt and Clint would go to a small covered area to sit and eat, but if the weather was nice, like it was that day, they sat on their favorite bench in the sun. It oversaw a big meadow with a lot of room for Deuce and Lucky, and more often than not, Fanny to run and play. During the work week, Clint and Matt always made sure to get daily walks and some exercise for their animals in, and due to Clint's and Deuce's jobs, they could usually take the dogs for work, so they were rarely stuck in the apartment for long. But the retriever and the shepherd still acted like they had been forced to sit still all week once they even got close to the park. As soon as they were past the gates, Matt and Clint unclipped all three leashes. Lucky immediately wanted to start running, but Clint caught his collar and held him in place until they begrudgingly sat next to Fanny and waited for the release. Unlike the two girls, who had been trained since they were puppies, Lucky had been a street dog before Clint found him and was still learning most commands and rules. While the three dogs started running around the park, chasing each other and inspecting every single stick to make sure they found the best one, Clint wrapped an arm around Matt's waist and the shorter man leaned against him. They walked for a few meters, enjoying the fresh air and the warm sun on their faces, and when they sat down and unwrapped their breakfast, Clint paused for a moment to look at Matt. "Do you know how much this all means to me?" he asked pensively. Matt tilted his head a little and rested his hand on Clint's leg. "What do you mean?" "You, Lucky and Deuce, Fanny, Kate and Yelena, our little traditions, sitting here with you, coffee and sweet treats." He humped for a moment before continuing. While he did so, Matt rested his head on Clint's shoulder and closed his eyes. Waking up and just being able to be grumpy and slow for a while, being able to come home after a long day at work and not having to worry about anyone criticizing me for being late, tired, and smelly. He leaned his head against Matt's and sighed. "I never have to worry about anything with you. I can just be me." Matt took his hand back and carefully pulled his head away. Clint wanted to protest, but Matt just brushed a gentle kiss against his cheek. "Wait, look at me." He cut Clint off before he could misunderstand what Matt was doing. "Hmm?" Matt didn't need to see Clint to know he was frowning. "I love you," he said and started signing. "I love you the way you are. I love how loud and chaotic you can be. I love how grouchy and antisocial you are when you're tired. And I love how outgoing you are once you are awake enough to be around other humans." Clint stole a kiss, and Matt thought he tasted the saltiness of happy tears in it. "I'm so glad I get to be the person you come home to every day, and the person you wake up next to. You make me feel safe and seen. You make my apartment feel more like home than it ever has in the years I lived there on my own." Matt was feeling his eyes getting wetter than they were supposed to be. "You grew up in foster care. You know how much it means when I say, you make me feel at home. You make me feel safe." "God, I didn't plan to cry today," Clint chuckled, leaning his head back and blinking against the tears. Matt just kept his face and smiled through his own happy tears. "You started it," he kissed Clint. "And yeah, I know how much it means to you. It means the same to me. Notes. About this universe. Part 2 of Domestic. Clayton and Yelena are dating / in a QPR. Kate used to be Clint's neighbor before he moved in with Matt. Now there are 3 dogs in their bed. Fanny is much better trained than Lucky, but do you still think she's too chaotic? Matt and Clint both have the same backstory as normal. Lost the sense, dead parents, orphanage, etc., but without powers.
Chapter 19. Shapeshifters. Summary. On a party, Clint has a very important question for his friend. Warnings: alcohol consume. If you could have any superpower, Clint, who had maybe had a few too many of the deceivingly sweet cocktails, leaned over the table and asked into the round, "Which one would you choose?" Matt cleared his throat. Bucky and Peter just raised an eyebrow at Clint. Natasha gave him her famous, "Clint, you're being stupid," look, and Maria just commented, "You and I are pretty much the only ones here who don't have a superpower," while looking around the room at all the other Avengers and local heroes enjoying themselves at Tony's party. I know. Clint did a full-body eye-roll, and Matt got up from his bar stool, deciding it was probably a good idea if someone was within arm's reach of the archer. "Hey, Matty," Clint chirped and happily leaned against his partner. "But if you could choose any superpower, completely independently from the one you have, which one would you choose?" It didn't even take 2 seconds before Matt, Peter, Bucky, and Maria answered, almost as one, "Shapeshifting." Natasha chuckled and kissed her wife. With an arm around her waist, she turned back to Clint. "I always thought invisibility would be a cool superpower to have." "Shapeshifting," Clint repeated it slowly, and Matt wrapped his arm around him. Chuckling, he pressed a kiss just behind Clint's ear before resting his head on his shoulder. "You asked a bunch of trans folk to choose any superpower. The outcome was pretty predictable." "Not just something else," Clint disagreed. "Yes, Clint, but I'm also not trans. And I'd say it's pretty likely for girls who grew up in the Red Room to say invisibility." She turned around, and after a second, she called for her sister. "Hey, Yelena, if you could choose any superpower, what would you choose?" The girl tilted her head for a moment, thinking about the question. "Invisibility, why?" "I just wanted to prove a point." Natasha turned back to Clint. "See? Not surprising." "You're all boring," Clint complained, making Matt chuckle. "What would you choose, sweetheart?" Matt snatched his drink out of his boyfriend's reach when Clint tried to drink the last sip. For a moment, Clint tried to get the glass back, but Matt just emptied it himself. "You don't even like this. Now admit it. What would you choose?" "Shapeshifter," he muttered with an eye roll. "See?" Matt ran his hand through Clint's hair. "And I think it's time for us to go to bed." "But..." Clint tried to come up with an argument, but after a moment he just pouted. "I don't wanna." "I know, but it's time." Matt said it again and stepped back a little so Clint could get up. "Come, there will always be another party." Clint grumbled unhappily, but got up and took the hand Matt offered him. But before he followed the devil, Clint turned around and gestured vaguely at the others. "Don't get superpowers without me." "We promise," Natasha chuckled. "If we find a way to become shapeshifters, we'll call you first, okay?" Bucky added with a bright smile. "Now go. Matt is right." Clint still wasn't happy he had to leave, but at least he seemed to be less worried about ending up the only one without shapeshifting powers. Author's note. About this universe. Canon divergent. Clint, Matt, and Peter are trans men. Bucky is non-binary. Maria is a trans woman. Chapter 25. Sculpture Artist. Summary. Clint commissions a sculpture. The first meeting doesn't quite go as expected. Clint entered the studio, hesitantly looking around at the pictures and sculptures displayed in the shared foyer. He slowed his step, trying to look like he was just checking out the art, but apparently he wasn't doing a very good job with that, as a man about his height, but built a lot better, approached him. He waved and smiled a little awkwardly behind his red glasses. "Hey, you're probably Clint, right?" "Yeah, hey, I'm here for the consultation," Clint stated the obvious. The other smiled a little brighter and gestured to the only door without a glass panel. "Great, I'm Matt. This way," In my studio, we won't be interrupted. Clint nodded and followed the younger man into the bright and warm space. After Matt closed the door, he took a seat behind a desk and gestured to the comfortable-looking chairs on the other side. Take a seat. I usually start with some basics, just a few things we should know about each other before we start talking about the actual work. Clint nodded, but got no reaction. Frowning a little, he gave a verbal confirmation after a second of silence. Yeah, that sounds good. The artist chuckled a little and took off his glasses. I guess that was a very good transition. You just nodded, right? Clint nodded again, but even as he did, he noticed the unfocused look Matt gave him and something clicked into place. Yeah, sorry. Don't worry about it. It's not really public knowledge that I'm blind, and if possible, I'd like to keep it that way. As soon as the press knows about it, it will be everything I'm known for, and no one will care about my actual art or the message I'm trying to send anymore. Clint nodded again, but caught himself within a moment. Sure. Matt smiled again. I appreciate it. The warm smile somehow managed to make Clint feel less awkward and nervous, but that feeling quickly changed when he blurted, without thinking of a better way to phrase it, I'm deaf. Okay, that's good to know. If there's anything I can do, just say something, and I'm sure we'll find a way. Matt nodded and smiled in a way that immediately melted Clint's nervousness away again. I think we're good, but sometimes my hearing aids don't quite do what they're supposed to do and just die randomly. Clint blushed. The artist nodded again. Like I said, just say something, and I'll try to accommodate as best as I can. For a moment, neither of them said anything, but this time, the silence wasn't awkward. It was more of a chance for Clint to add more if he wanted to. When he didn't say anything, Matt continued. Okay. There is one consequence of me being blind that is a little more sensitive, though. Clint frowned a little and tilted his head to take in the artist. I can't see anything. I have no light perception. So far, I have no idea what you look like. For my sculptures, I go by feel. So if you decide to commission one of my works, that means we will have to get pretty close. Of course, I won't do anything without your consent, and if you change your mind at any time, we can take a break or stop completely. And if you decide you're not comfortable finishing, I'm sure we can find a way to still get some kind of result we're both happy with. Matt gestured to three sculptures that were standing below a window. You wouldn't be the first person to change their mind halfway through. May I? Clint gestured to the busts. Sure, that's what they're there for, and don't hesitate to touch them. That's part of the way they're meant to be experienced. Matt smiled his charming smile again, and Clint supposed that it did make sense for a blind artist to make tactile art. Clint walked around the room, taking in the sculptures along the walls. How do you do the painting? He asked before he could stop himself or find a more tactful way to phrase it. But Matt just chuckled. He was still sitting at his desk, typing something on the keyboard of his laptop. For the commission, which is most of what I do at the moment, I let the client choose a color for the main part and another for the details. For free pieces, I either go by instinct or, if I have a specific idea, I usually ask some of the other artists around here to help me pick. And for the application, almost all my details are raised or indented and then painted over, so I go by feel. Doing it cleanly is just practice. That's really impressive, Clint muttered. And I don't mean that in an inspiration porn kind of way, like... Matt nodded. If you didn't like my work, you wouldn't be here, right? It's not like I'm the only artist doing this kind of thing. Yeah, but yours just clicked with me, if you know what I mean. Clint mused, making Matt's smile even a little brighter. I'm glad to hear that. Clint had finished the round around the studio and sat down across from the artist again. So, what do you think? Would you like to continue with the consultation, or do you need a little more time to think about what you're comfortable with? Clint looked at the piece that he had lingered in front of a moment earlier. It was of another man, not too far from Clint in stature. Like him, that person was on the chubby side, with unequal scars spanning his chest and stretch marks. Just that man, or at least the depiction of him Matt had made, didn't have scars other than the ones from top surgery. I'm not sure if I fit into what you're looking for in a client, he admitted. Matt's smile didn't waver, but Clint could see sadness in his eyes now. "Just that you think that makes you the perfect candidate for my work. It's not about perfection, or what we are told is perfect, at least. It's about telling a person's story the way just their body can tell it." He typed something on his computer and trailed his fingers over a small bar that was positioned below the keyboard. "I read the form you filled out, and I was really looking forward to meeting you. Even if this might be one of the most delicate collaborations yet. You wrote that you have some scars. Are you comfortable talking about them? It's okay to say no here. I don't have to know any details, and I know from personal experience that talking can help sometimes, just as much as it can make things infinitely harder at other times. It's complicated. I don't usually talk much about it, but I feel like it might help to kind of bring that part of my life to an end." He blushed heavily, and a part of him was glad that there was no one there to see it. God, that sounds incredibly sappy. "No, it makes sense. And sometimes doing something that's a little out of your comfort zone can really help to let go of the bad part of your life." Matt smirked and winked. "And sometimes being sappy is just the right way to go for that." Clint laughed a little and relaxed back into his seat, the uncomfortable tension he hadn't noticed building in his body going away almost at once. "I was in foster care for almost 10 years. No one wants a deaf kid. Undiagnosed ADHD didn't help. And when I started to notice I didn't feel comfortable being seen as a girl anymore," he trailed off and sighed. "Let's just say the most foster parents weren't happy with that at all. I got passed around between families. At first together with my brother, but he ran away after a year or so. He wanted to take me, but I chickened out. Maybe one of the worst decisions of my life. Some families were decent. One was actually pretty good, but most were just awful. And I know the foster system is a great help for many kids, but I just didn't see much of that side." Matt nodded, his expression turning bitter. "I grew up in an orphanage until I aged out of the system. Definitely not the worst side of the system, but far from the good ones. I don't envy you." Clint nodded quietly and sat at the table between them for a moment. Then he shook his head a little to clear his mind. "Most families didn't treat me like I was an actual human being. They used my disability, or if that didn't work, my behavioral issues as an excuse and just did the bare minimum. But a few have done much worse throughout the years. One of the first families I was sent to alone after Barney left hit me. Later, I had a foster father who burned me. Thinking about it was hard, but somehow the way Matt just listened made it bearable. You'll see the scars. There's not much people didn't try at least once to get me to behave. Most of the times they got physical. I got sent away pretty quickly, so there is a lot of variety to it. And over the years, I added some of my own scars to the mix, if you know what I mean." Matt nodded, pushing the sleeve of his hoodie up a little more and revealing a tattoo. At first glance, it looked normal, but the longer Clint eyed it, the more raised scars he could make out between the lines of black ink on Matt's upper arm. "I do. I'm not proud of it, but it's a part of my life. Sometimes..." Clint nodded and sighed heavily again. "I think, if you want me, I should... I'd like to do this. It may take a while, but I want to do this." Matt nodded with his gentle and welcoming smile. "We can take all the time you need. This is precisely the reason I don't charge by the hour. I want all of my clients to be comfortable taking the time they need without having to worry about money." "That doesn't sound like a lucrative way to build your business," Clint mused, more to himself than the other man. But Matt just chuckled. "It really isn't," he admitted, "and a lot of colleagues have told me to charge more. And honestly, they are right. For most pieces, I don't even get minimum wage, if I count everything that goes into it." The artist shrugged. "But it's enough for a living, and when it gets tight, I can always choose to do fewer commissions." Clint nodded again. "Yeah, I can imagine it's hard to find a balance." "It is, and I'm just not comfortable forcing people to do something they're not comfortable with, just because they won't be able to afford the sessions otherwise." Matt got up and pulled the curtain closed in front of the only full-size window. "Shall we get started?" Clint took a deep, slightly shaky breath. "Yeah, let's." He followed Matt to one of the three workstations on the back wall. All of them were meticulously ordered, but while two already had pieces on them that were currently covered in sheets, the third one was clean and almost empty. Matt had brought his laptop and the small bar attached to it over. Seeing it from a different angle and the way Matt's fingers all but flew over the array of changing packs, Clint realized it was a Braille converter. Okay, let's start with the simple things. Matt gestured to a tall bench. Take a seat, if you like. Before opening a file, do you already have an idea for colors? Something you like, or something you absolutely don't want? Purple. Clint's answer was instant. Looking down at his clothes, he had to laugh a little. This would be a lot funnier if you could see me. Yeah? Matt tilted his head a little and asked, describe it to me? Clint hesitated a little, but Matt just smiled his very charming smile again. And slowly, Clint started to think he knew exactly what that did to him. Or don't. It's okay either way. No, it's just... Clint sighed, torn between the awkward feeling in his chest and the gentle smile the artist offered him. I'm not good with words. They call me Hawkeye for a reason. That's okay. Words are hard. He smirked, as if remembering something. A good friend of mine is an author, and she likes whining about it to me. He turned on his spinning chair to face Clint, but his unfocused eyes didn't quite hit the right direction. Words haven't always been my strong suit either. I go by touch and sound a lot more than by actual words. Communication is important, but verbal communication isn't everything. Clint nodded thoughtfully. A part of him hated that Matt was blind and they couldn't just use ASL. But then again, most seeing people didn't know how to sign anyway, so the blindness was just a small part of it. Clint sighed again, and it was starting to annoy even him. Sorry. So, I'm wearing bright purple Converse, a white shirt with a purple target on it, a deep purple hoodie, though that slowly starts to look more grayish, and even my hair tie is purple. Matt smiled fondly. Okay, so we're definitely going to have to incorporate purple. Do you want it to be the base color or the accent? Or maybe both in different shades? Clint looked around the room again. I kind of like the ones that are just blank plaster at the base and then details in color. Matt smiled. Oh, I love doing those. They always give me nostalgia for the early days. He blushed a little. Sorry, I get a little too excited sometimes. No, it's good to see someone actually loving what they're doing. Bart made Matt blush even more, but he tried to hide it by slipping back into his professional mask. So, anything else? Anything you want me to incorporate? Or anything you don't want me to incorporate? I can do that, Clint frowned questioningly. Sure, Matt shrugged. It's art. We can do whatever the fuck we want. And it's your story. If there's something you don't want it to show, then we can do that too. Clint's hand twitched to a particularly deep scar on his side, and the crisscrossing ones just below started itching menacingly. But he wanted those to be a part of it. That was the whole point of this. They were a part of his past, and they would probably be there forever. He didn't want to hide them anymore. But something else came to mind. I've got a scar where my dog bit me when I first got him. He didn't mean it. He was just scared. Matt turned to type a note on his laptop, and when he turned back around, he tilted his head again. You got a dog? Yeah, lucky. I found him half dead on the street and couldn't leave him there to die. Or worse. Clint felt the slightly ragged scar on his arm. I made a mistake and scared him. Usually he couldn't hurt a fly, but he doesn't deal well with pain. He admitted. Yeah, Deuce is like that. She's the sweetest girl unless she's hurt. But I can't blame her. I don't deal well with pain either. Matt mused. Sorry, Deuce is my service dog. Or she used to be. She's mostly retired now. Oh no, what happened? Nothing, really. She did a very good job all throughout law school and for a little while after, but at some point she started to get tired of her tasks and seemed just generally less enthusiastic than she used to be. So her trainer and I made the decision to retire her. And around here, I don't need her as much as I used to in college anyway. Sometimes she still helps me around the city, but I don't rely on her as much anymore. Clint nodded. Yeah, dogs have their own minds sometimes. Do you want to meet her? Matt grinned, and there was a childlike glee that most adults didn't have anymore. "I'd love to," Clint exclaimed, Mabel a little too eagerly. Matt got up and left through a different door than they had come in through. A moment later, he came back carrying a small white kitten, followed by a German Shepherd. "These are Alpine, my colleague's cat, and Deuce," Matt introduced. Then he gave the dog a hand signal and she lay on the ground in front of him. "Good girl," Matt scratched her behind one ear. "They are inseparable." Clint crouched down and petted Deuce. "Do you mind if they stroll around here? They can't go into most of the other studios because of the paint. Just mine and Bucky's." "Sure," Clint shrugged. "And if you like, you can bring Lucky next time. Deuce always loves to meet new friends. I just have to warn you, I haven't met a dog that Alpine didn't immediately make a subject in her little kingdom." He laughed as he sat the tiny white furball down and it immediately curled up next to Deuce. "Oh, he loves cats. I'm sure they will have a good time." Clint stroked the white kitten with one finger for a moment before getting up again. "I bring him next time for sure." Matt smiled again, and Clint started to have a hard time not sighing happily every time he did. "Good. Do you want to get started then?" "Sure. How do you..." The awkwardness was back again, and even the warm feeling in his stomach that Matt's smile caused couldn't push it away entirely this time. "You said you're wearing a t-shirt, right? That's good for the beginning, then. I usually just start by getting a feel for the rough proportions and shapes, and we can talk about the most prominent details today, too, if you like. Then I can already sketch them out in the blank, or we can just leave that for next time. Either way, I will make a blank sculpture until next time, give it some time to dry, and in the next session, I'll be refining it until we're both happy with the result. And last, I'll paint everything." Clint nodded along with what Matt was saying, still absently petting Deuce. "Okay, that sounds good," he muttered when he realized that Matt still couldn't see him. Talking was starting to get harder again. "Sorry, I'm starting to get really nervous." "Just breathe for a moment. Do you want to drink something? Tea or coffee?" "Sorry, I keep forgetting that we have a working kitchen now. The electricians messed something up and we didn't have power there for the longest time." Clint just kept nodding. "Coffee would be good, I think." Matt nodded back with that smile that let Clint melt slowly but surely. "I'll be back in a moment. Do you need milk? Sugar?" "Black is fine, thank you." While the artist was gone, Clint sat on the floor next to the two animals. "Why can't he be deaf, huh, Deuce?" he muttered, scratching her between the ears. "That'd make this whole thing a lot easier." Deuce didn't answer. She just rested her head on Clint's leg and continued napping. "You don't care about that in the slightest, do you? As long as you get your cuddles, you're happy." Clint looked around the room at the sculptures and the covered workstations. "I wish life would be that easy for everyone." Sighing, Clint shifted a little so he could reach more of the two pets. For a moment, he enjoyed the relative quiet. He was itching for the actual quiet that taking out his hearing aids brought, but he didn't want to miss Matt coming in. After a minute, a low voice cut through the quiet. It came from the direction of the door Matt had brought Deuce and Alpine through. "Alpine, where did you hide this time, you little trickster?" "She's over here," Clint called back. "You can come in. Matt's just in the kitchen." A second later, the door opened and a short but, in Clint's humble opinion, very hot guy entered. He had long brown hair that he wore in a side cut and most of his skin was covered in tattoos. "Hey, sorry to bother you. I was just looking for this little beast." He sounded a little shy now, one hand firmly pushed into his jeans pocket. "No problem. We're taking break anyway," Clint assured him. "Or, we haven't really started, I guess." "Hey, I'm Bucky. I have the photography studio next door." He crouched down on the floor on the other side of Deuce. "I just wanted to make sure she's okay. She has a talent for sneaking into other rooms where she really shouldn't be. Some of the paint fumes are highly toxic for animals, especially the tiny ones," he explained. Clint nodded. "Yeah, Matt said so. But she's been here the entire time." He smiled up at the photographer. "I mean, who can blame her with such a soft bed?" He chuckled. "That's true. I'd like to spend all day cuddling Deuce, too. But sadly, I can only do that after work." Clint frowned a little, confused, and Bucky blushed a little. But before he could explain, Matt came back with two mugs of coffee. Hey, Buck. Everything all right? Yeah, I was just looking forward to troublemakers. He smiled up at the artist who handed Clint one of the mugs. Then I might be in trouble for once, Matt answered, smiling even brighter than he had before. And at that, Clint had to hold his breath for a second to stop himself from whimpering. Are you done for today? Yeah, the last client just left, but it looks like you need a little longer. He was gently patting Alpine now, and the play of his muscles through the tight, long-sleeved shirt he was wearing was the only thing able to keep Clint from staring at Matt's smile. Yeah, we were just taking a little break before we start with the blank. Matt sat on the spinning chair again. For a moment, no one said anything, then Matt turned back to the two men sitting on the floor. Buck, you know ASL, right? I'm a little rusty, but yeah, why? Bucky frowned a little. Just a thought. Clint, would you be comfortable with Bucky staying and interpreting a bit? Matt tilted his head again. Just the thought of being able to communicate already made Clint a lot less anxious. Yeah, sure. Would you? Matt turned to his colleague. Bucky seemed less confused than before, and Clint guessed he had seen his hearing aids. Sure, if that makes it easier for you. Clint nodded, still petting Deuce. Talking is hard, he muttered. Bucky just chuckled fondly. Yeah, it is, he agreed. I know that feeling very well. Okay, then let's start. I think all of us are starting to shut down a little, Matt suggested. Yeah, I think you're right, Bucky agreed, and Clint just nodded. All three men got up, and Matt gestured to the free space closer to his workbench. I'll just start getting a feel for your height, proportions, etc. He started to explain and came a little closer. I think you should take your jacket off. Bucky signed with one hand, and Clint nodded, leaving it on the bench next to him. Matt lifted his hand to about shoulder height, but stopped a few inches away from Clint. Ready? Clint nodded, and Bucky told Matt. Not having to talk was nice, even if he was still wearing his hearing aids. Okay, if you want me to stop, say, or sign something, I'll stop. Matt said this and waited for Clint's reaction before he reached out to touch Clint's shoulder. He ran his hand over Clint's shoulders, down his arms and back up, then a little slower over his collarbones, down his chest and over the sides. You have really nice proportions, Matt muttered while turning back to his desk and grabbing a few long strips of paper. And he's cute, too, Bucky added, winking and smirking at Clint. Will you stop flirting with my clients, please? Matt scolded jokingly. Oh, don't act all innocent now. You brought your dog and my cat to flirt with him. Bucky quipped back, and he turned to Clint and sighed. Did he use his boy killer smile? Clint nodded hesitantly. He wasn't quite sure what was going on or what exactly the relationship between the two artists looked like. But Bucky's grin just got wider, and he raised an eyebrow suggestively. Did it work? Yeah, Clint breathed. It worked maybe a little too well. Matt lightly rested his hands on Clint's hip. I don't usually do this. Actually, I have never done this before. But would you like to have dinner with us sometime? I have done this before. Somehow, Bucky managed to smirk even dirtier. Once. And it worked out very well. He stepped behind Matt and rested his arm around his waist, the other still hiding in his pocket. Wait, you two... And Clint stammered. Yeah, we're dating, but that doesn't mean you're any less cute. Bucky shrugged. Only if you want, of course, Matt added. He had pulled his hand back and was lightly tracing Bucky's fingers now. And whatever you answer, it doesn't change anything about the piece. No, I'd like to. I just... Clint tried to find the words, but decided to switch to ASL after a moment of searching. I've never done this before. He thought about it for a second longer. I haven't dated at all since I actually started transitioning. That's okay, Bucky said after interpreting what Clint had signed. This is new for us, too. We can figure it out together. We both don't have that much experience dating, either. Matt agreed. Okay, Clint nodded. I think I can do dinner, he eyed the two men. Matt wrapped his arm around Bucky, gently and barely noticeable tapping his left shoulder. For a moment, nothing happened, but Clint got the distinct feeling they were communicating in a way no one but them understood. Bucky sighed after a moment and turned to Clint. "There's something I have to show you first," he muttered. With some hesitation, he took his hand out of his pocket and pushed the sleeve up. Front for what Clint had expected, he didn't reveal more tattooed skin, but instead a silver and black prosthetic that seemed to continue under the sleeve. And if Clint had to guess, it went all the way up to his shoulder. Clint was a little surprised, but tried to school his expression back to a friendly smile as quickly as he could. He tried to come up with the appropriate reaction, but before he could find the right words, Matt gently nudged his partner. "See, not everyone is an asshole about it." Clint nodded, but he still wasn't sure what he was supposed to say. This time, Bucky spoke first. "I lost my arm a few years ago. It's a little messed up sometimes, but for the most part, it's not that different anymore." "It's just something you have to get used to, right?" Clint agreed, "like my hearing loss and Matt's blindness." Smiling, Bucky agreed. "It's just one more thing that they threw at me and that I have to learn to live with." For a second, Matt leaned against his boyfriend, closing his eyes before standing up straight and straightening the paper strips again. "Let's finish this for today before I fall asleep standing up. We can talk about the details while I'm working." Clint nodded. "When were you thinking? I'm free most evenings." Matt, who started wrapping different paper strips around Clint's chest, waist, shoulder, hips, and arms, and shortening them to the right circumference, smiled his most charming smile at him. "We don't have any plans tonight, and there's this really good Italian place right around the corner." "I need to get lucky from a friend's place tonight, but otherwise I'm free." Clint still wasn't fully convinced this was a good idea, but something about the other two intrigued him enough to get him out of his comfort zone. Matt put the last paper strip down on the table and typed something on his computer. While he did so, Bucky picked up Alpine. "We need to bring Alpine and Deuce home, but that's almost on the way anyway. And if it's not too far, we can walk you to your friend, if you like." "Sure," Clint agreed, the warm feeling spreading in his chest again. "Then it's a date," Matt chirped, closing the laptop and pushing the chair underneath the desk. "Give me a second to get ready, and we can go." Author's note about this universe. No powers AU. Clint is trans. He never left for the circus, but stayed in foster care until he was 18. Matt didn't develop his powers. He went through law school with Foggy, but they decided to open the shared studio space instead. Bucky has a studio there. He's a photographer. During a session with Matt, they flirted and he asked him out.